This week on Fitter Happier, we're talking about sleep awareness. And I'm joined in the studio by Chris Koski from Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital. In particular, we're going to chat about how a better night's sleep makes a smarter, safer workplace. There are so many factors that can detract from quality of sleep. So what can you do to make yours as good as possible? Chris is here to tell us more. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Chris, and thanks for having me on today.
No problem. Thanks for coming in. Now, Sleep Awareness Week was last week. Can you tell us what sleep awareness is actually about and why it's important?
Well, sleep's a very important biological function, and we know many Australians, about a third of Australians, report inadequate sleep.
That many?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was based on a study last year that was done.
Okay.
And this has a bigger impact on people's performance, and we know about a third it affects their work performance, and so they report making mistakes and it affecting their work. So it is important, and there's a lot of biological functions that occur with sleep. So you secrete growth hormone, you grow during sleep. The brain is actually very active during sleep, and you repair, send off a lot of genes that improve in terms of repair and also improving in terms of problem solving and thinking. So it's a really important function.
Do you find that a lot of people who are obviously a third of the population is quite a lot, are a lot of those kind of dismissing the importance of, I didn't get a good night's sleep last night, and not doing anything about it? Is that part of the problem?
Yeah, I think there's two things going on. So I think we're sacrificing sleep.
Yeah.
For other activities, and we know about a third of people are using the internet just before they go to bed hour, and also their work schedules. So that's part of it, and also the prevalence of sleep disorders like sleep apnea seem to be growing. And sleep apnea is where when you're sleeping, you snore and stop breathing, and it disrupts your sleep. Mm-hmm. And the prevalence of that's growing as people get heavier and obesity rates increase.
So how many hours of sleep per night does the average person actually need?
Yeah, so it's recommend, whatever's enough is really the answer to make you not feel tired. But the recommended amount's 7 hours for adults. And for children, children tend to need more, and teenagers need between about 8 and 10 hours a night. So,
but some people can get along with less?
Generally, that's rare that people need less, but humans are incredibly diverse and some people need less. But at least 7 hours is what's recommended.
Okay. So what are some of the major factors that affect our sleeping patterns?
So I think one of the most interesting things to come out is that light is very stimulating and sets the body clock. So morning light is really important. So when you wake up, trying to have a regular wake time and getting some morning light is really important. And trying to avoid light when the sun's gone down. Light, for example, from screens and televisions and computer screens, it can be quite stimulating in people. So I think trying to not have any screens around in that last hour before you go to bed is really important.
Okay. Does that tap into, some sort of a kind of primal aspect of inside us, when we were getting up and going to bed with the sun, before we had all this kind of technology around us? Do you think it's kind of tapping into, how our brains perceive that? We kind of have, if we have light in the room, it's like, our brains necessarily think that, it's time to get up now as opposed to time to get to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got clocks in our bodies, and there's a big clock in the brain, and that's really connected to the eyes. And so light, even when your eyes are shut, your eyes can perceive light. And so light's really what sets the body clock. But there are lots of other factors, caffeine, trying to avoid caffeine after midday, and having a regular sleep schedule, just using the bed for sleep and sex and not for other activities. Mm-hmm. So you restrict time in bed just to sleep. Making sure your room's really dark so you can't see your hand in front of your face.
Okay.
And making sure it's cool as well. That seems to induce sleep.
You're tuned to Fitter Happier on the Maragon RTR FM 92.1 with me, Chris Mason. And this week we're discussing sleep awareness with Chris Koski from Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital. Now, Chris, what should we do if we can't get to sleep?
Well, insomnia, which is the trouble getting to sleep or staying asleep or finding your sleep's unrefreshing, is really common. It affects about 1 in 10 people. And I think the first thing is just to some good sleep hygiene habits. So the ones I've just mentioned about light and avoiding caffeine, cool room. But if you're really struggling, then I think you'd probably need to see your general practitioner. Short-term insomnia is pretty common after a big event like an exam or a bereavement.
Sure, yeah.
And sometimes medication is helpful, but limiting that to under about 2 weeks is really important. A lot of the medications are habit-forming. If you're having a lot of trouble sleeping for, say, more than 3 months, then usually sleep retraining with a psychologist who's trained in cognitive behavioural therapy for insomnia is really the gold standard treatment.
Okay.
And there's a few practitioners in Perth who are very good at that technique.
Okay. Can you tell us a bit about obstructive sleep apnea, what it is and how it's treated?
Yeah, so what happens is that when, what obstructive sleep apnea is that when you sleep, your throat collapses and you snore and you appear to stop breathing. And this, every time that happens, it disrupts your sleep. You get a very poor quality sleep and people can feel tired and fatigued when they wake up and unrefreshed. It's a common problem. It's said to occur at least in 1 in 4 men and probably about 1 in 8, although the most recent data suggests it's actually even more common than that. Obesity is a big risk factor, but a third of people are not overweight with sleep apnea. And it's very treatable. So the way that it's diagnosed is with a sleep study, and then the treatments range from losing weight to a sleep apnea machine that you wear at night time.
Okay. So, if people are having trouble sleeping and they think that they do need help with it, where can they find out more information and where should they seek that help?
Yeah, so the Sleep Health Foundation is an Australian organisation that's really aimed at improving sleep across Australia, and they've got a really good website with lots of information and leaflets, and I direct people there in their first instance. If they think they've got a sleep disorder, that is, they're getting adequate sleep time over 7 hours but still feeling unrefreshed, then I think seeing a GP would be very helpful. And if you can't sleep, got insomnia, then again, seeing a GP may be helpful.
Really good advice for all of us and anyone out there who is suffering from problems sleeping. Chris, thank you so much for joining us on The Mag this morning.
Thanks very much, Chris. Thanks for having me.
That was Chris Koski there from Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital on this week's edition of Fitter Happier on The Mag, discussing sleep awareness and what you can do if you are having trouble sleeping. You're tuned to The Mag on RTRFM 92.1.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.